right in as soon as I pull up the agenda.
Hi, Elise, it's Jonathan. I'm on.
Oh, great. All right. So we are going to start and confirm that we have a quorum. Thanks, everyone, for making quick action to join us. So I'm going to take attendance. Adrian Barnes. Adrian, you might be on mute. Okay, I'll come back to you because it says you're on here. Mike Barr.
Hi.
Steve here. Borg.
Here.
Elise Starwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalan.
I'm here.
Wei-Ling Huber. Okay, Carol Eisen.
I'm here.
Melissa Mitrovich. Josefina Mina Alvarado.
I'm here.
Jason Ryman, Dwayne Walton, Diane Woods, Leon Jones.
Here.
Okay, so we have a quorum established. Adrian, are you there? Okay, well, we have a quorum without her. So
I see her. She's here.
Oh, okay. Let's start with the some background on the PPP loan. Mike, do you want to give that, or do you want to have Kimberly, or who would like to give that?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it, and then I'll let others that have more information or different information correct and fill in as needed. So the over the last 4 weeks ish, the federal government has approved two large tranches of money basically to help protect jobs. The PPP stands for Payroll Protection Program. The idea is that it provides funds to small businesses, less than 500 employees, to be able to retain staff during this time of shelter in place. You can read whatever headlines you want around some bigger organizations. We've got the money. The bottom line is there were two tranches. The first was about $350 million. That was fully subscribed for and given out pretty quickly. It's my understanding that what we're talking about today is part of the second tranche, which is another 300-ish billion dollars to maybe trillion, whatever. part of the second tranche of money towards this program. The what we're talking about today is we are asking for approval for staff to execute a loan document for approximately $1.5 million, $1.458 and some change, if I remember correctly. It is important to know a couple key things. This is a loan and must be treated as a loan until it is something other than a loan. Okay? There are provisions within this loan that if we do certain things, i.e. retain jobs, that it's likely to be somewhat forgiven and will convert from a loan into a grant. But until that happens and until we have complete clarity that has happened, we must treat it as a loan, okay? The reason that we're doing this in somewhat short order today is we received notification that our loan had been approved. The way the loans work is it's approved by the Small Business Association, or Small Business Administration, rather, and then it's coordinated through your individual bank. Ours is through Kimberly Summit Bank, thank you. And we got approval from the SBA on 4/29, and from that day we have a 10-day period window in which to execute the loan documents and accept the funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's. I'll stop there and answer questions that lead up to the point of what we're asking for today, and then there's a whole nother topic about what we need to think about between now and the 14th of May. What questions do people have about what I've just shared?
I'm just glancing through this loan just for clarity's sake. Is this a 1% loan like the others I have heard about?
Yeah, so let me talk about the structure of the loan a bit. I've not looked at these documents. I've seen them from a couple other organizations, but the general terms of the loan are it's 1% borrowing, deferral period of 6 months of no principal. So if we were execute today, we would start paying it back in November of 2020 over a 24-month period. So it's extremely attractive rate and payback period, especially as we're heading into times when we will most certainly face large deferral payments from the state of California this year.
And within those 6 months, we have to demonstrate that we've used this loan for certain purposes, which I imagine are primarily payroll, real estate, and there are utilities or a few other things. Is that right?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about the acceptable use. So from the date of funding, which if we execute the documents will be tomorrow, if we execute tomorrow, it'll be Friday. But from the date of funding, there's an 8-week period in which we can use the loan to pay for allowable expenses. Those allowable expenses are 75% towards payroll, 75% towards payroll and other affiliated costs, i.e. some the non-federal portion of some unemployment taxes, that type of stuff. You can count towards it. The other 25% is facilities costs, which can be mortgage interest and utilities. There is one asterisk in what I said about payroll, in that anybody that gets paid an annualized salary of $100,000 or more, you're capped at 8 weeks of what would be $100,000 annualized salary.
And Mike, based on our current payroll with that caveat, about how much is a month of payroll?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm guessing that a month's payroll is going to be about $600,000-ish.
Okay.
I'll look. That's an estimate. Kimberly, yeah. Susan, anybody want to?
Yes.
Okay, so roughly $600,000.
Around 600. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So 1.2 of this is essentially going to go to payroll. I mean, given some of the other limits and caps.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Okay, so the remainder is within the 25% range is what I was getting at.
Yes. Thanks for clarifying, Jonathan.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, any other questions about up to this point? Because there's another big thing we need to talk about, which is potentially giving this back, but that's a separate topic.
So just for the, this is Josefina, just for the record, there is some back and forth right now, and the SBA is putting out like daily updates on the frequently asked questions around the certification of the need for this particular funding source. So just for the record, can we have a couple of statements about the economic forecast going forward and why there is a need for this loan
right
now?
That's actually part two of what I want to cover today. So I just want to address, are there any questions about, I do want to get to my take on that, but are there any other questions about the loan and its structure? Okay. So the big question, a lot of the controversy circling around all this stuff that's creating the headlines is what Josefina just mentioned. The way this was, there are some fairly vague words in the legislation that describe you're facing economic uncertainty and therefore you need the money to survive. Okay, that's a high level boiling down of what it says. To Josefina's point, the Small Business Administration is literally on a daily basis updating their FAQs. I've been on at least 10 webinars about this stuff. I got another one coming up on Friday with the latest news. The idea is that spurred by some of the headlines you saw where Shake Shack and Ruth Chris Steakhouse and the Los Angeles Lakers were deemed to be facing economic uncertainty that they needed to borrow this money, that didn't play real well. It wasn't necessarily the intent of the program. So several of those large organizations did give money back. It was announced a week and a half or so ago, don't quote me on that, but roughly sometime last week, that if you didn't feel that you met the test of having enough economic uncertainty to warrant receipt of this loan, that you had until May 7th to return the funds or undo the acceptance of a loan. Okay, that February 7th date is tomorrow. As of last night at about 5:30, the Small Business Administration extended that date, which is called their safe harbor window until the 14th, which is a week from tomorrow. Okay. So I just want to, that's the other fact that ties into this. I am not at this point ready to take a position that I am 100% certain as chair of your finance committee that we meet the criteria to accept and retain this loan. Okay. The reason I say that is there's still information coming in where we're taking a look at it. I'm recommending that we speak to counsel before we decide to keep the funds. Because this is a complicated issue. And to your point, Josefina, the guidance, literally, we expect to know more in 48 hours on what constitutes economic uncertainty to a sufficient level to warrant the acceptance of this loan.
So, Mike, I do think we want, though, if we do end up keeping the loan, we are going to want in the minutes what our economic uncertainty is so that it's memorialized, which would mean we lost the revenue we would have had from the gala. We lost the rental revenue. We lost the students' performance here. Just making sure that we have on record what the uncertainty is.
All three things Elise just listed are things that it's my understanding are eligible factors to count towards our economic uncertainty to extend this loan. What is unclear is the extent to which we can claim economic uncertainty for what we are going to be facing after June 30th, which is a drop in per pupil funding of at least 5%, perhaps as much as 10% next year from the state, offset to some extent by some additional federal funds. And we're also going to be facing deferrals. So there's two things we need to remember as board members as we go into next year. We're going to get less money. We're not going to get at the schedule we normally do. We don't know the second part of that. But we know that if tax returns aren't due until July 15th or April 15th, it means the state has less money to give out. So what they've traditionally done in times like this is they ride on the backs of schools as making us go find the money to pay our bills while they wait to pay us. So that's a long-winded answer to say that I agree that the three things that Elise listed, which is loss of show income, loss of rental income, and what was the third one, Elise?
Fundraising. Fundraising revenue
and fundraising those three criteria, it's my understanding, count towards us building a case for economic uncertainty that would warrant us taking this loan.
Hey, Mike, this is Duane. So I agree with you to confer with counsel, but you know, like those examples you mentioned, you know, OSA is completely in a different category of the Lakers, Ruth Chris, or Shake Shack. So, but counsel, you know, would be able to provide, you know, sort of that best level of really just going to kind of CYA, you know, for us in terms of, you know, should we, you know, retain it. But based on what I'm hearing and kind of what I know of the work from the financial side, I don't see why OSA would not, but I would like to, you know, have our council sort of kind of just sort of help validate that and perhaps even to come back to this group, maybe even by email, just kind of what they say.
There is a requirement for consistency in payroll, and because we're a school, that payroll may fluctuate, especially over the summer. Mm-hmm. So my understanding, based on the university I work with, is that we may eventually have to pay back part of it based on the payroll roll. I don't know the consistency of our payroll roll during the school year versus summer, but that could impact how much we owe back.
Yeah, so Steve, just to circle back to the 8-week window I described before. So if we were executing the documents today and get funded tomorrow, we would only slip a few days into July. Our 8-week window would run until about July 3rd or so. But your point stands that based on, you know, how we pay hourly staff, whatever.
Right.
But again, I can't say this enough. We are asking for approval to execute a loan, and it should be treated as a loan until such time it is something other than a loan. This is not $1.4 million that we can go roll into salaries, not $1.4 million to buy Chromebooks.
Yep.
It's not it is a loan until it's something other than a loan.
And just for the record, at this point, what's our deficit in terms of this year's budget?
Somebody from CSMC want to update us the latest. I don't know the latest other than what we shared, that we had about off the top of my head, I'm remembering about a $450,000 shortfall in revenue offset by about $200,000 of lower expenses, but that was pre-COVID, Josefina. So it would have been about $250,000 deficit this year. I don't know if we have updated numbers, if they've been shared with me. I've not had a chance to look at them in the last 48 hours.
I don't think so. I'll have to pull it up if you give me a second. And Kimberly might have comment on that also. We've been working on that.
Yeah, it was right. The same pre-COVID. That was the amount that we were facing. However, in addition to that, we will face a loss of, as it was mentioned, rental revenue. Show revenue for the end of the year is also a major factor that we're going to lose money from as well.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that it's clear that the numbers that I just shared with Josefina, the $450,000 shortfall in fundraising, has nothing to do with COVID and therefore doesn't count towards any economic uncertainty. That happened prior to this.
Mike, if I understand sort of the net of it is if we were to sign up for this loan, we receive the loan, and for whatever reason, some portion of it doesn't apply or is unforgivable or has to be returned, we do have the ability to do that in the next 6 months.
Yeah, so today is the 6th of May. If we act today, then we have until the 14th of May to decide to unwind our acceptance of the funds.
Okay.
So in other words, once we execute, funds come in the next day, maybe 2 days later, maybe same day, depending on your bank. I've heard all three examples. I'm actually working with five of organizations that are currently going through this. So it's not consistent across the board. So we would have So let's play it out, John. Let's say we sign today, get funded tomorrow. The 8-week period begins tomorrow. That goes until July 3rd, whatever that date works out to be. Then staff will start recording the information we need to apply for forgivability for the loan. We will gather the facts we need around payments we've made to staff, payments we've made for facilities, all the things that qualify. And then at some point, this is what's unclear, at some point in the summer, I will leave it that vague, we will be asked to provide some information to basically request forgiveness, and then we will be told, yes, you get forgiveness of this amount, or no, you don't. And then whatever is not forgiven, we begin paying back over 24 months at 1% starting in November of this year, Jonathan.
And a 1% interest rate is a highly attractive term anyway, all things considered, right? Essentially,
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, all other things being equal, if we weren't facing COVID, if we knew what we're facing next year with upcoming state deferrals, we would absolutely be looking to borrow $1.5 million at 1% over 24 months to help pay the bills and navigate the cash flow, the deferrals we're going to see from the state.
And what's the net ask of the board at this point? Are we voting on something? Are we authorizing the signers to sign? What are we doing?
The ask is to authorize the execution of the documents as they've been shared. And again, they just came out a few minutes ago, so I can't expect everybody to have read them, but I'm guessing if it's, I've seen three different versions of them. They've all been extremely similar. I've not looked at these yet.
What's your recommendation as the finance committee?
My recommendation on, this is me, this I'm not speaking for the finance committee, I'll let Adrian and Elise weigh in, that we execute the documents because we have until tomorrow to do so. If we don't do it tomorrow, then we have lost the opportunity and would have to reapply, which means we would have no right to go. It would be very unlikely to have this opportunity again. But I'll stop talking in a minute. We're asking for this authorization with the understanding and realization that if input from council and the fact pattern that we assemble suggest that we would not qualify, we will give the money back. And we have until the 14th of May to do so.
Got it. Elise, what's your recommendation?
Oh, I think we should approve it. I think we should approve the acceptance of the PPP loan. Adrian?
Can everyone hear me now?
Yep.
Yes. Hi.
Wonderful. Adrian. Hi, I'm here. I do want to mention that CSDC gave out advice in terms of reviewing
whether or not we would be in favor of applying for and receiving the PPP
Can
funds.
Can you explain who that is, Adrian?
Yes, Charter School Development Center. They are, I would say, a thought leader in terms of charter schools, charter school finance. They are also leading the CBO training that both Kimberly and I are attending right now. So their metrics are, and again, this is in favor of applying for or receiving the PPP funds. Relatively modest reserves, and I think we should talk about what that means. Limited access to lines of credit or their equivalent, and I think we should also in that think about not only access to lines of credit, but the rate of lines of credit, because I don't think we'd get one at 1%. Potential enrollment decline and other operational risks, and little or no federal bailout funding. Specifically, that does apply to OSA with the lower Title I numbers. When I'm looking at this, my question is, with our reserves, do we have enough to get through at least next year without borrowing? And I don't know, based on the information I've received, I don't know the answer to that question. And that's where I think the budget reserves comes into play. I think we have substantial budget reserves, but I am not certain on how far those reserves will get us and if we can manage potentially a 60-day deferral next year in revenue funding plus potentially a 10% cut. So that is my question on that. And I have yet to figure out the answer on that one.
But we have time to figure that answer out while we make this decision. And if the answer comes out differently, we can repay some or part of that loan per how that answer comes out, correct?
Let me clarify. There's two paths that could happen here, Jonathan. And one is that we accept the loan and then continue the work that we're doing now and decide by next Thursday to undo that decision and give the money back. That's path number one. Path number two is to accept the loan and then begin to spend the loan and do all the stuff. And then we'll gather the stuff and we'll see how much is forgivable. And then hopefully at some point it converts from a loan into a grant, and then we pay it back. What we can't do, Jonathan, is accept the money now, get to a point next week where you say, you know what, we didn't really meet economic uncertainty, so we're just going to pay this back over 24 months at 1%. If the facts lead to our decision that we do not meet the test for economic uncertainty, we would give all the money back immediately.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I want to just for the clarity of unity across the finance committee, I agree with everything Adrian said. Those are things that we need to get answers to. We don't have them yet.
So the resolution on the table is to approve the PPP loan, knowing what we do and knowing that we will learn more in the next few days. Is that fair as the resolution, Mike?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to take a vote or would we like to have more conversation?
I would like to offer two other things, Elise, just for consideration. One is the SBA has stated that all loans over $2 million will be subject to audit. What that means, I don't know. When that means, we don't know it. But this falls below that threshold. That doesn't mean it's the Wild West. We can spend it on whatever we want. We still need to follow the same rules as if we were going to be audited. But it's important to note that we would fall below that threshold. The other thing I will offer, and this is anecdotal. I don't know if the CSMC folks want to weigh in with anything different, but I've been on a number of conversations with a number of other organizations, and a large number of charter schools have accepted the loans and are not planning to return it because they feel that they meet the criteria for economic uncertainty. I will also share that I'm on a call later today with another organization that I'm doing some consulting work with, to discuss a PPP loan for that organization, and they have the same counsel that we do. So I may be able to gather some information for that, but I would want our counsel to weigh in specific to our situation.
Yeah. At least do we make a motion? Are you making a motion or you want somebody to make a motion on this?
So I am making a motion that we approve the PPP loan with the knowledge we now have around future conditions.
And Elise, yeah, I'm sorry, this is Duane. I'm on mute, but what I was going to ask is, if we make the approval, we should take a roll call approval as part of our virtual. Okay, perfect.
Thank you for reminding me, because I forget those things.
Elise, I'll second your motion, Elise.
Okay, all those in favor, I'm going to call by roll call. Adrian Bond.
I abstain.
Carol Eisen.
I'm in favor. Voting yes.
Thank you. Duane Walton.
Approve.
Diane Woods.
I was late to the meeting.
Did you say abstain? Okay. Jonathan Dharmapalan.
Yes.
Josefina Mina Alvarado.
Yes, it's Alvarado Mena.
I'm sorry. Mike Barr.
Yes.
Stephen Borg.
Yes.
And Elise Starwish, yes. Did I get everyone? I think so. Okay, thanks everyone for getting on so quickly. See you on the 14th.
Elise, can I ask a question? This is Carol, about that vote that we just had.
Yep.
Does that meet our requirement for enough affirmative votes based on a number, our board size at this point?
Well, we have a quorum, so we only need a six.
So it's the majority of the majority people who are.
Majority of attendees, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for checking, Carol.
Stay tuned, everybody. Thanks for your help.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye now.
Bye.
Very good. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.